Good morning, VRBC. Man, we miss you guys, and I can't wait to begin to start seeing your faces in the very near future. Today, we're going to wrap up this sermon series called Stay Strong. We've been looking at the first two chapters of Paul's second letter to his spiritual son, Timothy, and we've been talking about how we can find resources of perseverance as we grow in our faith, as we grow through suffering and challenges. And today, we're going to talk about growing in maturity, staying strong in maturity. Have you ever thought about how many people are dependent upon your maturity? I mean, when you grow closer to Christ, that benefits me, that rubs off on me. And conversely, when you or I fail to grow closer to Christ, that rubs one another the wrong way. And so there are high stakes for you and me this morning when it comes to growing in maturity. And so I want to ask us right at the beginning to just ask God to show us something that will be a catalyst for our maturing today. So let me just pray a quick prayer. Lord, give us attentive ears, move through your Holy Spirit, and help us to latch on to at least one thing today, Lord, that can help us to grow, to become more like you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, I want to talk to you about what I'm going to call can't stay here moments. You ever had a moment like that where you realize, I can't stay here? I've had moments like that literally. I may have talked to you before about driving through South Texas in a rainstorm. I'm on I-37. I can't see it. The rain's coming down so much. I pull off onto the shoulder. And then I start to think, you know what, this isn't the safest place to be right now. If somebody tries to pull off on the shoulder and doesn't see me, it's going to be all she wrote. And so I remember like literally thinking, I can't stay here stuck on this shoulder. And with God's grace, I managed to get back on the road again, which wasn't an easy thing. Have you ever had a moment like that? A can't stay here kind of moment? I have many times, and a lot of those moments have been more spiritual can't stay here moments. I remember very vividly my first ministry job. I just finished my freshman year at a junior college, and I was called to be the summer youth minister at the First Baptist Church of Three Rivers, Texas, a kind of a rural town. And I can remember that the church rented me a little duplex. It was a tiny house before tiny houses were cool. And I can remember my first day on the job. It's a Sunday morning. I've got my Sunday best on. I'm crossing the street from my house to the church building. And as I'm crossing the street, I'm literally thinking, you know, normal Larry, who's kind of a shy kid, would go to the back row, the back pew, and kind of stay out of the way. But I can't do anymore. My name's on the back of the bulletin. And I remember thinking, I can't stay here. I can't be shy Larry here. I've got to step up. I've got to grow in my leadership. It was a can't stay here moment. And by the way, that wasn't the last time I had a moment like that. Fast forward a few years, I'm in my early 30s, and I can remember I'm going out to get the car at Medical City in Dallas while a nurse is wheeling my wife and our brand new 3-day-old baby out of the hospital. And I remember thinking, I can't stay here. I'm a dad. I've got to grow up. And it was a pretty profound moment for me. Had a moment like that 6 years after that when a wonderful church called Valley Ranch Baptist Church called me to be their senior pastor. I'd been an associate pastor before. I'd been a junior pastor before. I'd served as associate pastor on a large staff. And I figured out I could kind of fly under the radar. But guess what? No more. When you're a senior pastor, you can't fly under the radar. And I remember very clearly having a can't stay here moment. You ever had a moment like that? Where you realize what worked for you in the past is not going to work for you in the present or the future. You know what? I actually had a moment like that 2.5 months ago when something called pandemic hit. It had never been on my bucket list to try to pastor through a pandemic. But I realized 2.5 months ago, guess what? I can't stay here. New things are going to be demanded of me, just as new things have been demanded of you over the last 2.5 months. Well, in every season of our lives, especially every season of the Christian's life, in a sense, we ought to be having these can't stay here moments. We ought to be asking God, what is it that you need me to do? How is it that you need me to grow to prepare for the season that I'm entering? You see, I think that is exactly what the Apostle Paul was preparing his spiritual protege, Timothy, for in this moment. Paul's words, inspired by the Holy Spirit, are helping Timothy as he moves into a demanding situation. Timothy is pastoring this church in Ephesus. He's kind of parachuted in. It's a terrible situation. People his parents' age are spouting false teaching and acting with great spiritual immaturity. And here this young man, Timothy, has to lead in this situation. And I think what Paul's counsel is going to say to Timothy is, guess what, Timothy? You can't stay where you've been. You're going to have to step up your leadership. You're going to have to grow in spiritual maturity. And so this morning, the question I want to ask is this: what are the turns on the road to spiritual maturity? There are probably a lot of them, but I want to talk about two major turns, two major pivots, two major shifts on the road to spiritual maturity. And I want you to think about how these impact you personally. The first one is this. It's recognizing the irresponsibility that we can no longer afford. Now, really, we never could afford it, but maybe as we look at our past, we're saying, yeah, in the past, I got away with being emotionally, mentally, spiritually irresponsible in some key areas of my life, but I can't afford to do that anymore. I couldn't afford to do it then. I especially can't afford to do it now. So how does Paul address this? Well, beginning with the first verse that Lisa read for us a moment ago, Paul actually uses a sermon illustration. He wants you to imagine in verses 20 and 21 that you're walking through a first century home. You're doing a home tour of a first century house. And he says, as you walk through this house, you're going to see all kinds of vessels, if you will, all kinds of containers, all kinds of jars. And some of them are going to be for less noble uses. Some of them are going to be trash containers, or in an era before indoor plumbing, you can just let your imagination go and imagine what some of those vessels would be like. But then there are going to be other vessels in that first century home, and they're going to be, like perhaps in our house as well, they're going to be noble, special vessels. Maybe it's a silver or gold goblet that you were given as a wedding present, and it's of great value. Okay, got the picture? All right, so how does Paul apply that? Well, he says in a house, you know, different vessels, not all of the same value. But if you think about the church as the house of God, if you think about church leaders as vessels, there were some church leaders in that church in Ephesus, and spiritually speaking, they're functioning more as trash containers. They are not serving up the beauty of the gospel. They're not serving up the purity of Christian truth. And Paul says to Timothy, guess what? God is calling you to be a pure vessel. God has a special purpose for you. Verse 21 is very key. Look at that verse. In many ways, the journey towards spiritual maturity is saying, God, I want you to continue to cleanse me, continue to forgive me of my sins, and I want you to continue working in my life to make me useful to the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, and continuing to prepare me to do any good work. That's a pretty good definition of maturity, isn't it? And so daily, what do? We confess our sins. We ask for grace, the blood of Jesus cleansing us, the Spirit of Jesus preparing us for the good works which God has called us in advance to do, as Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 puts it. And so maturity is basically saying to God, God, I know I can't stay here. I can't keep doing these same old irresponsible things. I want to grow toward how you want me to grow. So what are some of those irresponsible things we leave in our past? Well, I think as we read this passage, the first thing we have to leave in our rearview mirror, if you will, is what you might call immature impulses. Immature emotions or reactions or impulses. I want you to notice the beginning of verse 22. We'll finish this verse out in just a second. But look at the strong language. It says, flee. Run for your life, like you're running away from a tornado seeking shelter. Flee the evil desires of youth. Now, elsewhere, when Paul uses this word flee, he talks about fleeing sexual immorality, which, by the way, is always a good thing to run away from. Is that what Paul's talking about here? That's probably included in what Paul's talking about here. But here, I think he's specifically talking about what one commentator calls the headstrong passions of youth. I've been helped by a pastor, longtime pastor and writer, commentator named Kent Hughes. And he examines some of those mistakes that young leaders make. By the way, I want to add a qualifier here. I don't want you to feel like if you're a student, a child, a student, if you're a young adult, that Paul or I, unintentionally, am putting you down in any way. In fact, if you look at Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 4, verse 12, Paul says to Timothy, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young, but rather set an example in all these key areas. And that's exactly the kind of message that I want to present as well. This is not a sermon to slight younger people. But I do think when it comes to maturity, there are some things that come over time. In fact, I put together this little equation. See if this makes sense. How does maturity happen? Well, maturity equals challenges plus the Holy Spirit plus time. What does that mean? Well, for us to grow more like Jesus, first of all, we probably need some challenging experiences. We may not want them, but we need them to grow. And as we go through these challenging experiences, we ask for the Holy Spirit's assistance to help us where we're weak. And then over the process of time, we see God building spiritual muscles in us. Now, by the way, I just want to say here, I think you can be 30 years old and have gained a ton of maturity. I mean, I've met, you know, young leaders who were old souls, very wise and very mature. And unfortunately, I've met 80-year-olds who were very immature. So it's not just a factor of age. But I think Paul is saying to Timothy, as you grow, there's some irresponsible behaviors to leave behind. Like, for example, impatience. Impatience. How many pastors, how many spouses, how many parents, how many supervisors, when we want change, we want it right now. We want it instantaneous. But guess what? People don't tend to change instantaneously. Marriages don't tend to change instantaneously. Businesses don't tend to change instantaneously. Churches, I can testify, do not change instantaneously. And impatience fails to recognize that, you know, when Jesus talked about growth, he often uses images of seeds and planting. Growth takes a long time. A lot of it happens underground. We don't even think it's going on, but God is doing something powerful over time. And so impatience is the exact opposite response that we should take to organisms that grow. I've heard it said, never tested this out, but a nautical navigator who's trying to turn his ship around, that it takes 7 miles to do so. What that tells me, if you apply that illustration to people, is that human beings are not like jet skis. We don't just turn like that. It takes a while to change. And so Paul would say to Timothy, I think, that impatience you brought into this thing, you got to leave that behind you. That harshness that you might be tempted toward, you've got to leave that behind you. Every person you're interacting with has a soul, and our souls tend to be fragile. So we leave behind us immature impulses. We also, secondly, leave behind us futile conflicts. Futile conflicts. Not conflicts in general, because conflicts are a part of life. Conflicts are a part of growth. Sometimes we have to have hard, necessary, crucial conversations with one another. But a lot of our conflicts are unnecessary. And by the way, just to state the obvious, we are in a season that is ripe for conflict. Early on in quarantine, a friend of mine in the church sent me an article that's been so helpful to me. I've sent it to shared it with a lot of people. But it says how naturally some of us in this season and in life maybe are a little more on the cautious side. Some of us are a little more on the confident side. There's nothing wrong with either side. It's kind of how God made us. But if we're not careful, the cautious and the confident can kind of rise up and have a lot of really unnecessary conflict with one another. And so what does Paul say in verse 23? He wants us to think about the kind of conflicts we're having. And he says, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments. By the way, I didn't know we could say this word in church, but Paul said it, so I'm going to say it. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. That's the only thing that comes out of it, is a lot of broken relationships. You've had these kind of conflicts before, right? Where you felt like maybe it was more important in that moment to win the argument than it was to love the person that you were talking to. How do you know you've been a part of a foolish argument? One way is the next morning you wake up and you just feel terrible, right? It's like, why did I say that? Why did I do that? And Paul says, if you're going to be an influencer in the kingdom of God, you've got to leave behind you those futile, worthless arguments that do more harm than good. A few weeks ago, I was listening to a podcast interview of an older pastor. His name's David Hansen. I've actually read some of his books, and they've been really helpful to me. I'd never heard his voice, and so it was kind of cool. And he's now retired, but he spent much of his ministry working in rural churches in Montana. And at one point, he said, there was a particular day, let's say it was Wednesday, and that night he was going to have a board meeting with church leaders, and he was kind of riled up about it, and he said he decided to just kind of leave the office and go fly fishing. He's a big fisherman, and he said this is something that he would do often, and while he was fishing by himself, he'd pray about his sermon, or he'd pray for people in the church, he'd pray through challenges. But he said on this particular day, he leaves the office, say Wednesday morning, he's fly fishing, and he says the whole time he's just having these imaginary arguments with the elders or deacons that he was going to be meeting with that night. And he was just imagining what they would say and his killer response. And he said, guess what? In his head, he was winning every single argument. He finishes fishing that afternoon, he gets his gear back in the car, he's driving back to the church, getting ready for the meeting that night, and he said he felt like the Holy Spirit just kind of whispered to him, you know, all that stuff you were saying to these imaginary people while you were fishing, you can't say any of that tonight. And he said, now your first thought might be, what a waste of a work day. But then he said this, he said, anything that saved me from saying that to those leaders was well worth my time and the church's money. Friends, sometimes the value of maturity comes in things which through prayer we don't say. The journey of maturity requires us to say, I can't stay in here anymore. I can't keep being so impatient with people. I can't keep getting bogged down with these futile arguments with people. I can't keep trying to own people and demolish people. I got to love people. I've got to serve people. So the first turn, the first shift in this journey toward maturity is thinking about all those irresponsible behaviors we have to leave in our past. The second one is recognizing the ambitions, the spiritual ambitions that we can no longer neglect. We read the opening words of verse 22 a moment ago, but I want us to finish out this verse, very important verse. You might even want to kind of highlight it or underline it. We read, flee the evil desires of youth, put that in the past. But then these are some spiritual ambitions to pursue in our present and future. Pursue righteousness, which here I take to mean integrity. Pursue righteousness, pursue faith, pursue love and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I think that's really powerful. Pursue integrity. Pursue faith in God rather than our own ability to try to manipulate life and be change agents in our own strength. Pursue loving people rather than trying to control them or defeat them. And prioritize peace in Christ, harmony in Christ over any personal agenda. And then I love this last part. Along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Like, don't do this by yourself. You know, be on the maturity journey with other people of like mind. What does this mean? I think it means wherever you find yourself, seek out prayer partners. I like the way Eugene Peterson in The Message paraphrases this. He says, enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Find prayer partners wherever you are. And by the way, I just have to say it as we're in this kind of grow group recruiting season, that I think countless people in our church would say being in a grow group, you know, sharing our spiritual lives with one another has been very key in helping us grow to be more like Jesus, finding that kind of spiritual companionship. And while we're pursuing these things, verse 24 reminds us that we need to continue to pursue the life of servanthood. Or if you're in a leadership position, and most of us are influencers in one way or another, it's the continuing to pursue servant leadership. And so look at verse 24. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome. That's the rearview mirror. But must be kind to everyone or gentle, able to teach, not resentful. Instead of being quarrelsome, as we talked about before, right? Maturity involves gentleness. Gentleness is strength. You ever seen a big old strong dad putting a six-month-old baby in a crib? We see their strength in the gentle way they lower that child down. Gentleness in the Christian life is a form of strength. Yes, often leaders are called upon to teach, to share wisdom. Leaders are warned to stay away from resentment. Resentment is a cancer that eats our souls. I've had to have treatment for that. Maybe you have as well. I'm speaking personally here. But we can't stay here, right? We can't stay mired in impatience, harshness, picking dumb fights with one another, resentment. No, maturity continually pushes us forward. And one of the biggest magnets that God has put out there to push us forward is hope. Our hope in what Christ can do in our lives is a huge agent of maturity. Look at verse 25. You know, we're going to have conflicts from time to time. But even when we do, Paul says to Timothy, opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. Even when we're in conflict with people, necessary conflict, not foolish conflict, but necessary conflict, we do it gently, we do it prayerfully, and all the while we pray and hope that God is doing something in each one of us. Isn't that key? Right? We're not there to run over people. We're not there to frustrate people. We're there because we're agents of hope that God is doing what only God can do. Verse 26 speaks very honestly that the devil is alive and well. The devil is constantly trying to dope us, if you say it that way. And what Paul is praying is that people will come to their senses. They'll break out of this sinful drunkenness, if you will. The devil's trying to trap us and take us captive. But as long as the kingdom of God is at work, there is hope. But I asked you at the beginning of this message, you know, have you ever had a can't stay here moment? I mean, that's what we're about today. Where is it in your life right now that you are recognizing, I can't stay here? God is calling me forward. God is calling me down the path of maturity. Now, friends, before we're done, I just want to say that I read all these verses that I've read to you today. I read all the verses of Scripture through an eye of grace. The center of our Bibles is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. And so I want you to say, I know, you know, you and I are sinful. There's never going to come a point in our life where we're going to say, I did it. I did it. I now have become the world's most mature human being. It makes me think of one of my favorite scenes in one of my favorite Christmas movies. You remember when Will Ferrell plays the role of Elf? He's walking down the street. He sees this little nondescript diner, and they have this little sign that says World's Cup of Coffee. You remember this? And he kind of bursts into the shop, and he says, you did it! Congratulations! World's best cup of coffee! Great job, everybody! Great to meet you, right? Well, I just want to tell you, I don't think there's going to ever come a time where somebody's going to come up to us and say, you did it! You know, you're the world's most mature Christian of all time, right? No, we're sinful, right? As long as we're on this earth, we've got a ways to go when it comes to perfection, a long way to go. But still the call of God, one step at a time, is saying, Lord, help me leave some irresponsible patterns in my past through your Spirit, through your grace, through your forgiveness. Lead me toward righteousness. Lead me toward faith. Lead me toward gentleness and kindness. Lead me toward love. Lead me toward hope. Because we can't stay here. And won't it be fun to see where God will take us? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word, Lord. Your word, like this passage we've studied today, has inexhaustible truth for us. Lord, we don't want to stay here. We want to grow. Yes, we're sinful. Yes, we struggle. Yes, many days it's three steps forward and two steps back, or some days two steps forward and three steps back. But Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And right now, Lord, would you do a work in us that helps us take a significant step forward, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.